Log Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, Cav Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Michael Van Tool Show here on blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank you, first of all, those who are calling in on the line and listening and who are streaming online on the internet. Thank you so much for joining us. The Sunday morning team is here. Don't forget, we're going to be talking news, weather, and other information, and the Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, political advocate and home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the Sunday morning team. Happy 4th of July to the city of Detroit. And good morning to all the listeners listening in to the show this morning.
Great. And from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, Chaplain Stephen Caffey, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to you, Sister Henrietta. God bless you to everyone else that's a part of the team. They are online. Amen. God bless you to the missionary, and God bless you to Detroit this morning.
Absolutely. Let's. We know that our podcaster, author, and speaker, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, is on vacation this week, so we're looking forward to getting a complete and thorough report on her vacation down in New Orleans. We're going to be hearing all about that trip next Sunday. Also, evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, prophetess, minister, songstress from Greater Pentecostal. We're hoping that she gets a chance to jump on the line. We know that she's, of course, involved with the Sunday services at Greater Pentecostal, so we will be happy at any time when she calls in. All right. I did want to, this morning, I'm going to mention, too, something about a lady named Shirley Moody. She was one of the most dedicated, loyal church members from my mom and dad's church many years ago. She passed last week, and her homegoing service was yesterday. Got some remarks on Shirley Moody in a few minutes, too. All right, take a short little break. When we come back, the latest in news and weather right here on the Michael Van Tool Show. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
All right, we're back. In the news this morning, Americans seem to lose their common sense at America's zoos and national parks every summer. Visitors have taken selfies with lions and tigers, fallen over cliffs while taking selfies, or tempting fate by walking up to wild beasts like bears and bison. So far this year, three tourists at Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming have been gored to some degree by wild bison. This week, a 71-year-old was attacked but is recovering from her injuries. A 34-year-old was gored as he walked with his family nearby. On May 25th, a woman was gored and tossed into the air by a bison. Here are some facts about bison. The average bison can weigh 1 to 2,000 pounds. And if you are gored by bison, they ram their pointed horns into your flesh. Bison is becoming a popular meat as a beef replacement as prices increase. And there were close to 10 million around the 1800s. And now the population of bison is down to around 10,000. Wow. In Trump, in an effort to salvage his political career and viability, former President Donald Trump is believed to be preparing an announcement to run for president again in 2024. His approval ratings have fallen since the January 6th hearings have been televised. Many more Republicans have decided that he is too toxic and may face criminal charges as a result of the investigations and insider witnesses and accounts. Some in the media believe his announcement may be an attempt to distract America away from the hearings and turn the attention to him and his run for office. He's known for doing that, distracting. A 1955 arrest warrant was found in the basement of a court building in Mississippi this past week. A team of researchers, including relatives of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old black boy who was abducted and murdered in Mississippi in 1955. The arrest warrant was never served to Carol Bryant Dunham. She's now in her 80s and lives in North Carolina. As you may recall, she was married to Roy Bryant, who along with his half-brother J.W. Millam brutally murdered Emmett Till days after she said he whistled at her in a local store. The abduction and killing was so vicious that it galvanized black Americans and helped propel America's civil rights movement. The tortured body of Emmett Till was eventually found in the Tallahatchie River in Mississippi. Wow. The things still come out after all these years. All right, let's go down our list. Henrietta, you got it.
Well, you know what, Michael? I want to tap into the piggyback off of what the Emmett Till story, because when I read that story the other day, I was stunned, and I was full of anger, and I was ready to go out and create a protest, literally, because we hear what it is. We think about Roe v. Wade, and we think about all the legislation behind that. We have to remind ourselves that this country is built on hatred. Like, we always call it America the Free, America the Great, and all the amenities that make this country a beautiful place to live. We still have to understand and come to terms with this country.
There's so much hate. I don't know how she sleeps at night, this lady. How could she sleep? And if for me... She ought to just come out and, you know, she's in her 80s right now. Just come out and just tell us what happened. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. She is going to, I don't know. I honestly don't know how people like that can sleep. I don't know.
Well, you know, evil sleeps, honey. And when your heart is blackened, and I say this because I've known people who do some of the most horrendous stuff, and they sleep and eat well because that's just
hate.
Who they are.
That's right. It's part, hate, that hate and racism.
Yeah.
I don't understand why so many white people want to always think that they're so superior and better. Where does that come from? You can feel good about yourself, but you don't have to. You don't have to pull somebody else down to feel good about yourself.
Right.
I don't know why and how for so long, so many white people like her feel, and these Karens now, and the MAGA people, how do you feel every day that you are better, superior, more intelligent, wiser, all that stuff, more than anybody else?
That's his attitude. You know, when you are felt or made to believe that you are the super race, which a lot of them think they are, and they've gotten away with stuff that most people in other cultures and races would not get away with. They have gotten away with it for generations and generations and generations and thus far. So when it comes to the Emmett Till story, when it comes to this young man losing his life over a lie, at one point, you know, I was talking to some other political heads, and they thought she was dead. It was like, well, didn't she make this confession on her deathbed?
No, she's still.
She made a confession, but she was on her deathbed. She might have been sick and close, you know, very sick, but the family wants her arrested in prison, and they should. She should be arrested and in prison. Here it is that you find a letter that, when I read the story, that the sheriffs and investigators were like, well, you know, we're not going to bother her because she has two young children to raise. Well, I'll be damned, because here it is, a mother just lost her 14-year-old child. Nobody cared about how this mother felt raising her child, who was already had some sort of disability, but overcame all of that and was a very upstanding young man. And y'all took his life. And then you want to turn around and say, well, we don't want to mess with her because, you know, she has these young children. And now you want to, and moving forward, now you want to say, well, she's, you know, we got this a warrant, and we gonna have to have a conversation with the investigators or the sheriffs down in North Carolina, because we want to just, you know, we just want to find out what we should do. Here it is, you know what to do. So now you let her go so many, you know, over 70 years ago, and now you want to sit up and say, well, now we want to see what can we do, because, you know, she's old. I mean, how much privilege can you give a person? And that's just a privileged mindset. Let's be clear. Had there been a person of color and they got away with it, or they found out, I don't even think they would have waited. I think that person would have already been arrested and in prison or worse. But let's just say that the tables turned, and that was a woman of color, rather black, Asian, Mexican, or whatever. They had a found evidence that she was going to be arrested. She would have gotten arrested. They wouldn't have wasted any time thinking about should or should they not go talk to the lead investigation team in the city that she live in. We have to understand this coming out to give America a very bad name. And
yes,
I was in with this. I hope the family gets their justice, because as a mother of two amazing black men and 10 grand kings, I will be on the hunt. You understand? And I'm going to end it with that.
That at the time that happened, that was a groundbreaking moment in U.S. history. I've read and I've watched the documentaries on it, and even the most recent one, and you know, the mother, Emmett Till's mother, told them that, no, we're going to keep it. It's going to be an open casket at his funeral. And I think Jet Magazine, Time Magazine, all the major magazines had the photo of Emmett Till laying in the casket, battered face,
ears cut off,
one of his eyes had been taken out. Yes.
Yep.
It was a very, very brutal. And just imagine the hate that you would have to do something like that. And then eventually, eventually finding the body in the Tallahatchie River.
With a bell tied around his body.
I think it was a fan.
Motor
A fan, yes. Wow, what a horrible
way to die
incident
for anybody, for a child nevertheless, who's afraid, who's being taken out of his sleep for something he didn't even do. He was, you know, when it all came out, Michael, he was just being friendly to her at the store. There was no whistle. That was he was friendly to her in the story. She felt some kind of way of him being friendly to her.
Completely unnecessary and just brutal hate.
She wanted to get her. Let's be clear. White women back in that have play a major part in how a lot of things took place in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be very clear on that. If they said something, because the men upheld them as the platform of all women, and if they had
felt some kind of way about something, wars were started and murders were happening.
And that's where the Karens, that's where the Karens come from today, the descendants of those. They're still out there.
Yep.
They're still out
They're still out there.
Okay. Yes. Chaplain, Kathy, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go go right ahead. You got the floor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's terrible. I remember first hearing about that, what it transpired with that young mother many years ago. And when I heard about it, oh man, and I can hear it in sister voice. It almost makes you still emotional.
All these years later, yeah.
Because it was a child, but there's a danger. There's a danger in revisiting these types of things, because the mindset that we have today is the mindset that they had back then, but they couldn't do anything about it. So because we have the mindset today and we can do something about it, then we should put in effective deterrence that would warrant such behavior away from us today. So I tell you, it was a terrible, terrible thing to happen. As far as the woman being charged, I don't even know why we would have that discussion. She should be probably in jail right now. She should be in there right now.
Yes, she knows a lot about this, and it all started because of her. So
absolutely,
she should be.
She's just as guilty. You can't get a pardon on a murder. You can't get time does not heal the wound for a murder, a brutal murder. Rather, you gave the person the keys to your car to go and do it because you said what they did to you. Guess what? You still are responsible for what happened with the people who was driving your car. Had she not said what she said to them, then they wouldn't have never messed with that brother. They wouldn't have never messed with him.
Chaplain, and this just shows you how important it is for people to do the right thing, for good people to come out to say something and do something. Don't just stand there and turn around and run from something, because look, it took out of all those people in the White House, all those Republicans, all those grown men around her, it took Ms. Hutchinson to speak up, 25-year-old, to speak up and say, you know what, this is not America, this is not right, this is wrong. I'm going to come out and I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened leading up to January 6th. And those other people have not, all of them, they're running. They want to plead the Fifth Amendment. They don't want to testify. You got to subpoena them and all that kind of stuff. But look, it took her. Somebody in that courtroom in 1955 had the nerve to write up an arrest warrant for her, but it was never served. So somebody was doing the right thing. Somebody started to do the right thing. And that thing, we found it in the basement of the court building, an arrest warrant for this lady. They should have arrested her in 1955.
Well, she should be served. Yeah, she should be served now then. We knock on her door. Yeah, knock on the door and just let her know, ma'am, I know you probably thought I was an Uber driver or something, but you got your year. I'm not going to take you on no trip. In fact, yeah, I am. But the trip's going on. You won't be coming back for a while. Yeah, it's a free ride. You got yourself a free ride today on a nice vacation. You got yourself a nice vacation.
A real nice vacation.
A real nice. And the thing is that you can look back in our historical time and see instances where, Google it, where black folk has been accused of something, and 30, 40 years later down the line, they find out where they at, and then guess what? You got the U.S. Marshals at their door. It's all on the news. It's all in the paper. Yeah. And so the sister, right, again, there's a engraved double standard when it comes to that, when it comes to handling those things, when black versus white.
Oh, yeah, it's always a double standard. Chaplain, if we would have gone up to the Capitol on January 5th, we would have been tackled, shot, arrested by the time we got out the pickup truck, okay?
Yes.
We wouldn't have even made it to the Capitol. But they actually went in, wrecked the place, hunted down people, want to hang Mike Pence, and they were allowed to leave. They weren't even – those people were arrested days later. And some of them are still being arrested. But that's a double standard because, yes, we would have been arrested. Something would have happened by the time we drove the truck up into Washington, D.C. They would have stopped us before we even got out the car.
Let Obama said, we're on our way down there to the White House to do it. Using the words that Trump used. Let Obama had to say that. Rather not Obama was part of the march or not, he would have even been in jail. I wish I had some help on him, man. They would even got him. So the things that they did, I said if you wanted to stop him from coming in, all you got a bunch of black youngsters from the hood to do Secret Service. Put some black folks in there to do stuff. Hire some of the young boys out of the city, man, out of the hood, and have them do the security, man. And I tell you what, man, just that Secret Service can just stand by because had it been some solidness at them, listen, man, they wouldn't have got in. They wouldn't have got in there, man, because it would have been a serious war. When it came to gun battle, because they would not have allowed them in.
That's true.
As you found out too, that a lot of people some people that was on the inside that supported what was going on the outside,
right?
And they
right.
didn't find that out until after they had gotten in.
Oh,
you
I
see,
think
so,
this is going to go down in history, and all those people who participated in this. This is going to the tide will turn because 50 years from now. 100 years from now, it's going to be looked on as an attempted coup, an insurrection. And
absolutely.
And it's not, a lot of those people and their families are not going to want to admit that they had anything to do with this into the future. Mm-hmm. The tide will turn. It's just because Trump is here right now. Let me welcome Minister Bishop Dr. Smith to the discussion. Good morning, sir. How are you? You there,
take
Dr. Smith?
Off mute, bro.
Yeah, he must be up. But anyway, I clicked him on here, so when he figures it out, he'll say something. All right, Chaplain, what's the weather this week?
I know, right?
Our meteorologist. Left that in your hands.
Yeah. Well, the acting meteorologist would just
as he's looking it up right now.
I have it. Yes, I have it. good morning to you, Detroit. But I would like to just tell you today we are going to have partially cloudy skies with a low of 64. At the ending and a high of 85. Amen.
Nice.
Monday, we're looking at mostly sunny skies with a low of 72, high of 92. Tuesday, thunderstorms. My, get your umbrella and your water boots ready. 70% chance, they say, of those thunderstorms coming. Low 65, high 90. I started to say 1990. Wednesday, partially cloudy, lows for 64, giving off, ending it, I believe it would be a high 82. Thursday, scattered showers, low 68, high of an 87. Friday, we're looking at scattered thunderstorms, low 68, high 84. Saturday, partially sunny, low 61, high 83. And coming back again Sunday, we'll be looking at a low 66, high of 86 degrees. That has been the weekly weather brought to you by none other than the Blog Talk Radio, Michael Van Tool Show. God bless you today. Sitting in, meteorologist.
Wow. Okay.
These nice days.
You really added.
That was encouraging.
He really added some stuff.
Yes, I tell you, when she asked me to do it, when she asked me to do it, I said, I'm going to make sure I do it right again.
Well, you did an excellent job.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. In her absence, I thank her for allowing me to fit in for her. But I'm just a chaplain, not the meteorologist.
Okay. Well, great. That was good anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. I want to talk about a couple things. I'll see if we can get Dr. Smith connected on. But we'll be back after this message.
Whether you're buying your first home or planning for retirement, RAM Insurance and Financial Services have got you covered, literally. We're a full-service, family-owned and operated, independent insurance agency that offers all-encompassing services for our clients. Here, we work with different companies to keep you protected. We operate through holistic planning, keeping you safe through all of life's milestones, from auto, home, life, and health, business, or retirement services. It's all about you.
At RAM Insurance and Financial Services, it's about relationships, not transactions.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything
okay,
is
we're back.
My
name's Michael Van Tool. I'm here with the Sunday morning team, political analyst, home care advocate, Henrietta Ivey, from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, Chaplain Stephen Caffey. On our line, we've got Reverend Dr. And singer, what's his name? Smith, Randall Smith. We've got him on the line, trying to patch him through. Of course, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, Prophetess Minister Songsters from Greater Pentecostal. Her and Kimberly, they're both away this morning. All right. I did want to mention, those of you know, I'm a preacher's kid, that probably accounts, it will explain a lot of stuff. I'm a preacher's kid, good or bad. One of the families represented at our church over the years at the Salvation Army, her name was Shirley Moody, and she transitioned this past week, and her homegoing services were yesterday at the Salvation Army Detroit Temple Corps, which is right there, right where the Salvation Army is needed in the community, Dexter in Chicago. I was able to share some remarks at the funeral yesterday, because, in the Salvation Army, just like my parents were like Salvation Army majors, and it's built, it's fashioned after, and Chaplain, you know, because you wear a uniform too. The Salvation Army is built, it was like the war against sin and death and destruction. It's a war, it's a fight against the enemy. So that's what a Salvation Army soldier is. That's what a Salvation Army major, a captain, it's built off of that. And it kind of, it's kind of run similar to like the U.S. Army. I remember all through the years, my parents getting a letter in the mail or a phone call saying you are being transferred to like St. Louis, or you're being transferred to Milwaukee, or it could be from country to country. You know, you're being transferred to Costa Rica or Cuba. That's what our life was like growing up. And so a Salvation Army soldier is a member. So Shirley Moody was a soldier. She was a consistent, loyal, devoted soldier, part of the foundation of a solid Detroit family, the Moody family, with deep roots in the city. They welcomed us when we moved here. You know, we immigrated here. Actually, almost everybody in my immediate family was born somewhere else. And so when we came to the United States back in the late 70s, the Moody family kind of basically like adopted us. You know, when you're moving somewhere from another country and you don't know anybody, it's kind of lonely. And you just don't have any support. So they were our support when we came here, and Shirley and her sister Coretta and the rest of the Moody family made sure that they embraced us. And, you know, we couldn't have had it any other way. And it took them to help us to get acclimated here. So we know that God placed the Moody family in our path. So she was important in the Women's Home League. They had a meeting on Wednesdays. She was important in the Sunday school and the 11 o'clock services. And, you know, it was a life she chose to be with Jesus. There was no other way. She chose a life because he touched the sick and healed them from their disease. He walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He could touch the eyes of the blind and make them all to see. He could bring an unjust king down to his knees, feed the hungry, set the captives free, and he can comfort the bereaved. And I thought it was appropriate to read the first verse of an old Salvation Army hymn. You know, the Salvation Army has old song books, you know, just like the AME Church and some of these other old mainline churches. They had a hymn book in the church. There's a lot of new music out now, but you know, a lot of the old churches like AME, they have a song book with these old songs from back in the day. You know, this, it says, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. There is no other way but this. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, I was listening to the eulogy given by Pastor Artie Lewis and chaplain. He said, are you ready to take this journey like she was? And I thought about that, and he was like, you know, are you prepared?
My Lord.
I thought about, yeah, you know, I remember, you know, when I go on vacation, the night before I'm scrambling to make sure I'm packed and everything and got toothpaste, mouthwash. One thing, you don't want to leave town and forget something that you really need. It's really difficult.
No, Lord.
You know, and I ain't trying to preach here, but it's the same way. And I looked and saw the casket up front. And, you know, I thought about that for myself. You know, am I ready to take that? Because, you know, she might have been in her 80s or 90s, but I'm not guaranteed to be 80 or 90. You know, it's great for a black man to get, I think they say, past 30 now. It's so bad out on these
streets. I have to. If I may interject. Now, you and I had a conversation before, and I will make it perfectly clear that tomorrow is yours. Tomorrow is yours. The Bible says, don't worry about the cares for tomorrow has its own cares. That should tell you right there that tomorrow you're going to get there. But let me go in further. He says that I come that ye may have life and life more abundant. abundantly. So Jesus came for that purpose. So therefore, that ought to open your mind to say, you know what? He wants me to have life. So in order to have life more abundantly, it has to go past today. So tomorrow is yours. But what we're not guaranteed, I want to be perfectly clear on this. I believe that we're not guaranteed the right now. We're not guaranteed the right now. And the reason why we're not guaranteed the right now, because, again, anything can happen right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. So we are living in the now. But tomorrow is a given. We got tomorrow coming. God, he already said it in his word. But the interpretation of the word has only been given to those who can interpret it the way that particular preacher or pastor is saying it. So,
yes.
And why
yes.
the Bible say study to show thyself approved. You read it in the scripture, and you need to know that the scripture is allegorical. It's a message in that, up under those words. It is.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Amen. I just wanted to put that on you, man.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. You know, and I thought, you know, when you're looking up there, you realize, you know, some people talk as though the person is there. That person is gone. When we're looking up there at that casket, at that body, they're not there. That is
mm-hmm. That's right.
They already left.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just the shell that they were in mm-hmm. while they were mm-hmm. on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes,
mm-hmm. you know. So it you know, they're not. They already left. Whether last
yep.
week, you yep. know,
the day
she
of
left
the,
last
the day
week.
She, yeah, the day that she closed her eyes and that
That's
moment
right.
when her breath stopped, her spirit was gone. She had already went on to wherever God's other plan is for us
That's
when
right.
we leave this field. And that is important that people need to understand. When that body is a shell, it is a house for the spirit. So what people need to really focus on is making sure that your spirit is in good condition, because that
yes.
time is going to come. And if that spirit is not in good condition, I can't even speak to what will happen. But what I do
uh-huh.
know is, I don't want to be unprepared for when my transition happens
mm-hmm.
that I'm not
yeah.
prepared. You use
yeah.
the word prepared, because a lot of folks do not be prepared, and they can't come back and tell us what happened when you ain't prepared. See, that's the
right,
the
right.
beauty of
it's,
it, because
it's a point of no return.
What we need God for? So it's that piece of life that mystery that we don't know. But why chance it? But what we do know is, because the word said it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
That
uh-huh.
is, because you're going to see the creator. That's for sure. And we
yeah.
can't come back to tell anybody, and that is the power of God. If, you know, nothing can take that power away. When you leave, it is done. And then
mm-hmm.
nobody knows. All we know is you left. So be
that's
prepared.
Amen. And it's
That's
so
true.
Good, obviously, it's so good, obviously, wherever you went to, that I don't know, ain't nobody in my family ever came back to sit on my bed and say, baby, look here, these streets
like
pay to go. They,
right.
they ain't coming
let,
back
let,
saying,
oh, let
no.
me tell you, let me tell you how it is,
yeah.
before I, you know, no, it just don't happen like that. Ain't nobody going to
yeah,
come back and tell you.
No, they're not. That's why the people be like, when they be like, they done talk to the dead, I just look at them like they crazy. I say, Lord, you done talk to the dead. Yeah.
Well,
but let me go. Mike, if I may just get on,
somebody,
go along
somebody,
with your sister.
I don't know who it was they
yeah.
spoke to, but somebody, they communicated
hey,
with somebody.
It wasn't nobody. I'm going to give you one example why people has not been talking to the dead, and that's not true, so we can stop this. If you
yeah.
could talk to the dead, how many people that got murdered would have went to the police station and said, I know exactly who did it to me, that people
line.
That were raped and killed.
Yes.
So if you don't, that's why you can distill all of that folk talking to the dead stuff. Because there's some dead folk that really got some stories that could have been told. And why they're not coming to nobody telling them what's going on. So I don't go with that. I don't go with that stuff, man. Nobody talking about me talking to no dead. No, when Johnny just got shot up in a drive-by and he ain't going nowhere near the police station and told nobody nothing.
Nothing.
Come on, man. People only say they talk to the dead to try to win you over.
Yeah, or to make themselves feel, and I think it may be even a comfort tool for people who have lost a loved one that they really, really miss. And they say, I talked to I dreamed about my deceased person. And, I mean, that may be so, but at the end of the day,
that's possible.
You know, and we have to all understand when we're in sleep realm, we visit a lot of places.
Absolutely.
I won't even say a preview to death, but I'll say this. When you're in that realm of sleep, your spirit travels. Dream is just nothing but to me is your spirit traveling in a subconscious manner. And when you wake up, you might remember some of those actions in that dream, but at the end of the day, you return back to this life. And once your eyes are closed, and I say this because my friend passed away in her sleep, one of my high school friends, she was just diagnosed with cancer, and she was a caregiver, and she really loved her mom and her son. She had one son, and she was their 100% caregiver on top of working in one of the top, cancer institutes in the country, which was Kamado's. I think her fear of being sick and worry compounded her when she had a massive heart attack in her sleep. She went to sleep and never woke up. And so when I went to the funeral, she looked so peaceful. I mean, it was like wherever she at, she ain't complaining. What I realized at that moment is we're all going to face this. Unless something happened in between that time, we are all going to face the word death. And I say this, that is Michael said it, we have to be prepared. And people are not prepared spiritually to leave this earth. They're not. So I don't even know what could possibly be going on when you're not spiritually prepared, because God don't play. The Creator, the Almighty, the Omega, he don't play about when he tell you in his word, get it right. And nothing to put it into this way, because you don't meet me. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to answer to me. Let's be clear. All that the Bible is telling us, everything we need to know to do it right.
That's right.
To get us prepared for that
preaching
next level.
Day.
Because there's the next level. And what people don't understand, death is final here. But the spirit moves on to something else. And I want to move on to more greatness. So I'm not playing about my spirituality. So I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy to do something that's going to hinder me to have to wait. I don't want to do that. I want to know. I want all the gifts and glory and mercies and love that the Almighty Creator has in store for me. I'm not playing with that. And so people need to understand, when you get to the point of 80 and 90 years old, that is a blessing. If you get past 90 and almost to 100, you have lived. And so when you close your eyes at those ages, you lived. So you can go on to the next level, hopefully knowing that you have done what you're supposed to do in that time frame that you're supposed to do. We're not perfect by any means, but we know we have enough information from the word to make sure we're doing at least 90% of what we're supposed to do, because we're not perfect. Yeah. And I want to leave here going into a perfect setting, not still have to wait. I settle in my mind, well, shoot, what's going to happen if I don't do it right? Do I have to come back? Am I going to sit in the grave and wait? I don't want to know I want to know that all I want to do is leave here, and I hear my Creator say, "Well done, let's go next level for you." That's all I want. That's what keeps me obedient.
Well, Mike, I know you want to get in. If I could say one more thing, just to give her clarity on in that aspect, so can I?
Yes, go right in. Yeah,
all right. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it states that that when we die, that our body will return to that in which it came, which is the earth, and that the spirit, that breath that God breathed in the nostril of Adam that gave Adam life, that breath returns back to the sender. So there's the answer right there. And I want to put this on your mind. If the body goes back to the earth and your spirit, that spirit is your life, mm-hmm. and that spirit goes back to God, that breath, which part mm-hmm. of you go to heaven or hell?
Okay.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
okay.
my Lord. Wait a minute. You better listen to me, man. See, God is giving me something right now. If the body goes back to the earth and the breath, that all that we have,
mm-hmm.
that breath goes back to God.
Yes.
Because it's his breath.
Mm-hmm.
Then which part of us goes to heaven or hell?
That'll
you need to answer that question. And everybody that's listening in and tuning in to the Michael mm-hmm. Vantua Blog Talk Radio Show today, I want you to give an answer to, or a reply to that question next Sunday.
Yes.
Go to God and ask God to reveal it to you. But give an answer to that. Which part of us goes to heaven or hell if the body goes back to the earth and the spirit goes back to God? God bless you.
I'm just enjoying listening to you guys this morning, you and Henrietta. And I'm glad that you, Chaplain, decided to go ahead and speak, get involved this morning, despite all the mm-hmm. things that were going on, you know, just think about every, you know, like I said before, we watched the 11 o'clock news last night. We see something that happened, and then mm-hmm. we don't hear about it again. But mm-hmm. those families still have to deal with, tomorrow morning, they still have to deal with their loved one who just got carjacked, shot and killed mm-hmm. in a carjacking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. go away, you know,
uh-uh.
it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
People have to deal with, and how many people just in Detroit get up every day and whether they consciously do it or not, automatically think about cousin or their uncle or
mm-hmm.
or their sister or brother mm-hmm. or their father or mother mm-hmm. that was a victim of a
mm-hmm.
senseless shooting. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of people hurting every day.
Mm-hmm.
And people react to it differently. And because sometimes I'm driving or I'm going somewhere and I'm like, why are they so uptight? Why is that person so angry? We don't know what people are dealing with.
That's right.
We don't know what happened yesterday or this morning or last week or last
mm-hmm.
year. Because some people carry
mm-hmm.
that stuff and they haven't found a way to let it to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't found a way to deal with the loss and the hurt. You know.
Yeah.
We did not get a chance to celebrate the life of a lot of people, especially since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I remember it was so bad back in March, April, May of 2020 that if somebody died of COVID, they tried to get them buried as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because it was raging so much at the time. You didn't want to
mm-hmm.
be anywhere near because it, you know, when COVID first came out, you know, we were thinking about it was on the surfaces of everything. Keypads,
mm-hmm.
doorknobs,
mm-hmm.
counters,
mm-hmm.
Clothes. Because it just came out and it was that bad at the time, so we didn't
mm-hmm.
get a chance. So I remember a friend of mine's mom had passed, and by the time he told me about it, he said, "Mike, she died this morning. They're gonna try to the medical examiner or whatever the funeral home that they're coming to pick up her body this evening, and
mm-hmm.
And then we're going to try to have her a short little private ceremony tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just done so fast, so
yeah.
quick,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And we did not get a chance to grieve and to celebrate
mm-hmm.
these people. I always mm-hmm. never forget
mm-hmm.
how O'Neill Swanson gave some of the biggest funerals over the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he died, we hardly even knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was not even a public home-going service for
nope.
him.
Nope.
He did Rosa Parks. He did Aretha
mm-hmm.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And many others. We remember the white horse and carriage coming down the street. So that was Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
That was Swanson's
mm-hmm.
funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not get a chance to celebrate him the same
mm-hmm.
way. And you know,
nope.
if it wasn't for COVID, I believe that O'Neill Swanson's funeral would have been right up there with Aretha Franklin and Rosa Parks and some of the others. Because
yeah,
I think,
I can bet you
there were plans on paper for
his
funeral.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was, but we don't get a chance to celebrate, and there's a lot of people that don't know about how they've healed, but it is true, and that's what we were talking about this morning. You do have to be prepared. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I did not mention, because it probably didn't come to me at the time, but I think that is, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's John, Chaplin, help me out. I think it's John 14, verse 6, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what? He be looking for somebody to help him. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. So it's already evident to me that you have been studying and that you are approved. You know what, Michael? You grew up in that house, I feel like the green leaf. You ever seen the green leaf?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh,
my God. That's him. That's Mike, man. I can picture him. And not with the problems. Not with the problems that they had drama. The atmosphere, the atmosphere. And you just a little Michael. Bad tool at the time. Come on.
Okay, well,
I
did learn some things didn't stick. They went right past me. But you know, I did pick up a few things. I tell you what, if I'm glad I was in that family. I'm glad that God allowed me to be a preacher's kid. I'm glad that He allowed me to grow up in that household. With both of my parents were ordained Methodist ministers, so I had the double barrel, two of them coming at me. So,
you had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
And when I mm-hmm. grew up, I tried to run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody introduced me to missionary Hattie Humphrey. And ended up in more churches, listening
mm-hmm.
to more sermons, was on the Praise Network. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what just happened here? I was trying to avoid going into like the ministry and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I should have known that if I grew up with two mom and dad tag team ministers. What was I running? You know,
not when it's already ordained and anointed for you to be who you are and what you're doing. You still got work to do.
Well, I do. Let me admit, I didn't go to the seminary. I didn't go to seminary. but I did study. I did go through a Bible study course. I never
mm-hmm.
admitted that to anybody until
okay.
now.
Was it at Princeton?
Was it at Princeton or Yale? No, it was related to the Salvation Army. I did do and I got a certificate and everything. And I never really talked about it until just now. I did.
Wow.
Yes. So So something, one or two things did stick. But like I said, I was surprised after I did the little Sunday school thing for the first time this year. You know, because I talked about in chaplain, you one of those people that told me, you know, Mike, don't do too much hard news, don't do too much politics, don't do too much. And I thought all these years I dedicated too much of my program to current events, current affairs, news, politics. And yes, I can put that into the show, but I don't need to make it the primary focus, because the primary focus for me, now maybe somebody else, if they can do that, you know, but if we all got our own path, we got our own mission, okay? My thing is, I think that I need to say some things to help people get through their day, to help ease their pain and misfortune, to give them some hope, and to help them to feel better about themselves, and to let them know that there is somebody, some place, somehow, something that they can turn to, a God that they can turn to bail them out, to help them move forward, to let them know that they got another chance, you know, another opportunity, you know. Sometimes people make a mistake on Monday and they go back and do something very similar on Tuesday. And then they go and do the same stupid thing on Wednesday. And then they do the same ignorant thing on Thursday. But get on Friday, God will still come back and say, you know, I'll give you another chance.
Because he's a merciful and just God.
He's the only one that even after 4 days of you doing the same old stupid stuff, that he will turn around and forgive you, when you are sincere and everything, and give you another chance. But now you're whatever you call it. Some people say it's luck, but sometimes it will run out, and God will he will shut it down.
Yeah,
you know, if you go out drinking and driving on Monday, and you go out again on Tuesday drinking and driving, and you go out on Wednesday and Thursday drinking and driving, but and then Friday, you do it again, and this time,
hey, I got a quick question for you.
You hit the You hit a family of five. You hit a family of five, and they die, and now you're in jail.
Right.
For the rest of your life.
You should have listened to God.
But he had mercy and grace.
Joe did.
Somehow. And he allowed you to get back in that car again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you did it again on Friday, and it was over. It's over now. It's over.
It's over.
So you can't cannot just assume that you can do whatever you want, and then you
That's
can
right.
just go to God and ask him to forgive you, and everything will be all better, and he'll pat you on the back.
Yeah.
No.
Uh-uh.
Who said, did somebody, Bishop Smith, are you there? Did somebody say something? I'm sorry. I thought I heard you try to chime in there. I must have said something that provoked you. Go ahead, Dr. Bishop.
Really? Wow. You being the popular cat, y'all just took over, and I was
I'm sorry. I should have made sure that you're a member at large here. Go ahead. You got the
floor. I got three wings to three things to say. One is your soul goes back from whence it came. Number two.
Okay.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but you got to make sure your calling and election is sure. And the way this thing is hitting us now, we don't have no time to play.
That's right.
My big sis Sylvia left this world, and I miss her so much. You see, we can't put folk in heaven. I sat at a funeral, and the reverend said, well, we putting out, we sitting in the heaven. Now, wait a minute. Like, you already know how the brother was living. Foul. And so and it came to me before I got there. I was walking the church on Woodward. Catholic folks and big folks. I was, and I'm looking at all these unique individuals. I'll say it that way. And I woke up here. He had a gold fingernail and his hair was red. I knew what time it was, but I didn't judge. And I said, now, Lord, you got to change this situation around. Now, the brother told me, well, we got to preach to the people so they can feel good. No, you better preach to them so they can see the Lord, because people, you don't have to give me your money, but I want to make sure that you get to heaven, because the world, your soul going to be, your blood going to be on my hand. I ain't got time for all that.
Yeah, I told you I was over at Greater Pentecostal with Evangelist Christy Laster, and she was preaching really. She was not just saying stuff to keep everybody happy. I know there's a lot of churches like that where the pastor just wants to keep everybody happy because he wants to make sure that people happily write their checks out and put some money in the bucket when it comes around, but. But there's one or two pastors out here who tells the truth and tells it like it is. And I believe it is true. I've sat and listened to a lot of sermons over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm sitting there and I'm just comfortable and happy and like I'm at the country club all morning, that I know that's not, it's not, I might as well be at the country club. But if I get a little nervous and start squirming around in my seat, that means what somebody just said something, you know, to me, and probably brought out something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. You know,
can I get a snippet of a rebuttal in there on the bishop?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Mm-hmm.
I just need to. I really appreciate you coming in, responding to that question, even though I was looking for all of the responses and answers next Sunday. So, but because you decided to come in now and jump over, I'm gonna save you while you're sinking, before you sink in the water. Let me save you, because you done jumped in the water now, and you should have waited. My question was,
Michael Van Tool, so go ahead.
If the body returns to the earth, that breath that gives us life, everybody know that, it had it not been for the breath that God breathed in the nostril of Adam that passed on from generation to generation, that we wouldn't have no life. It's the breath. It says that goes back to God. Now, you jump in there and said that the soul returns to which it came. I have no idea where the soul even came from in that question. Ain't no soul. Ain't no soul in that, brother. But I just wanted to say that to you, because you jumped out into the water. Now you ain't got no break on you, man. God saved you, man. He saved you that time. You hear me? He saved you.
Oh wow!
That time.
He said, God saved
you. You better wait till next week. You better study and wait till next week and come back with it now, because you're jumping out there, Mike. Mike didn't let you jump out there.
You hear what he said? You ever seen Mike the Legend Bishop jump out there? He's pretty star spanking, man.
I hear. You know, sometimes I take a chance when I click on some people's phone lines, and I don't know what they're going to say. And,
my Lord.
You know, I act on faith. I just a Smith's line. I
don't do it. Mike, don't do it. You hear me? I see what happened. Let's put a few get together, see how they act
but,
out. You know.
But the last two programs, I have stepped out in faith, and I left his line open. So we'll see
about this situation.
We'll see if that's going to backfire on me or not. But I think we're going to have to
Smith,
add.
Don't you get me? He going to get me in his church and get me now. I ain't coming over there on Finkel and Schaefer. You ain't going to try to get me in the hot seat. You ain't going to get me in the hot seat over there. You got me squirming like. Hey, sis, Henrietta, Michael, know he saved. Hey, if you going in the church, you know you saved by the grace of God. When Jesus and death got to fight many over 2,000 years ago, when they got to fight, man, Jesus, that fight made grace and mercy stand still. I wish I had some help on here.
That fight
that they had, got him all the way to the grave. And death said, I done did to you what I done did to many others. And Jeff left the grave and got to party all night Friday, all night Saturday, but early Sunday morning. Early, bright and early that Sunday morning. Death got a notification that Jesus was coming to serve him an eviction notice. So
Amen.
I wish I had some help on here, man.
Amen.
Death
Amen.
Is not.
Get in here. Hold on. Mike, how you gonna click you see the Reverend Apostle on there? He went straight to the grave, but All right.
Check him out, man. Check him out. This
you know,
is the Michael Van Two Blog Talk Radio Show brought to you live.
Wow. Sometimes I just want to listen.
Stephen Caffey, I get it. Okay, I caught it now. I get it.
Well, I can't wait to hear the Dr. Smith's first sermon. I think we're all looking.
My Lord, yes.
I think we're all looking forward to that because I'm
yes,
definitely going to be there in the front row.
I'm
going to
be there.
The
Lord's
unless
will.
He has it. Unless he has it blocked off for important people or something, you know, I don't know, some of these churches, the good seats are right up front, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to sit up front, but I'm going to be there.
Right.
You know.
Henrietta, now I got you, but the special offerings will be for the Apostle Kathy and Reverend Prophet Michael Van Tool. Here it is, man. Wow, bless you.
But,
and look, Henrietta just laughs at my sister. Y'all hear that? My sister just laughing.
I so enjoy being a part of this team. I mean, the conversations always leave me every Sunday when I get off the phone energized and ready to take on the world. And there are days, you know, you wake up in the morning, you just like, oh, Lord, I just want to just rest today. But it never fails that every morning I get off the phone with the Sunday morning team and sitting up and talking and having these amazing conversations. I just in my mind, I'm like, Lord, you already know what antidote I need every Sunday morning.
Yes.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
I
anticipated.
Yeah. Yes.
And I just love the fact that, you know, yes, we can do news and weather. We can talk about some current affairs. But I do like when we turn the corner. There's a point in the program, which Dr. Smith and Bishop Caffey both have encouraged me to continue.
Yeah.
And that is at
Amen.
Some point we
Good
turn day. The corner. And we go down the straight and narrow road, which is what has God done for you and me.
Amen.
That's right.
And what can he do for you? And what can you do for him? And that's when it changes. Because we get a lesson. We get a lesson.
Yes. I'll sum it up for you, Mike. You know, I got you all the way around. When Mike is in his summation, you know how us preachers just make up words? That ain't even no word, summation. You hear me?
It's a word.
It is? Well, amen. In his summation, Mike is saying that it is important to tell people what God has done, because that's what enables them to believe that he's going to do what they're asking him to do. I wish I had some help.
You said it better than me.
I wish I had some help.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's what's important.
Uh-huh.
I said it in words that was for you. I can never say it better than you, because the way you said it was great. I'm only saying it in words that are for you to push out, to bring a level of excitement to what you have already said, so that the listeners can receive what God has. You see, so it is important for us tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, when
Amen.
I go back
yes, and not
and
go
look back.
Back,
when I go back and look back at my programs of, you know, when I'm 99 and I'm sitting in that assisted living center or whatever, and they wheel me up to watch Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune or something, I want to look back and remember that, you know, I did at some point when I figured it out, devote a good portion of my programs to your spiritual enlightenment,
yes.
your spiritual
yes.
growth. Spiritual growth.
Yes.
Because that's what's going to matter, you know,
uh-huh.
when it's all yes. said and done. When it's all said and done, you know, Henrietta, you were talking about it earlier. You know, when you get there on Judgment Day, you know, and they open that book.
Yeah.
Go down, it's going to be detailed. It's gonna be in detail. God is not gonna leave something out.
Not at all.
He ain't gonna forget something like, oh, I don't know what happened to Mike from 2000 to 2020. So let's skip by that part. Okay, Mike. No, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
They gonna have every day by day of what we
mm-hmm.
did. And I just want to make sure that at least I can say, you know, was able to, and I don't know who I'm reaching, you know, on these programs. You never know. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's right. You ain't gonna know. And maybe, you know, maybe that's a good thing, because if we find out, then, you know, I'll start to get all my ego and stuff. Yo, you know, I help.
Mm-hmm.
You know how some people do. Oh, we,
mm-hmm.
I help.
Yeah.
You
know, mm-hmm.
1,000 people last year, know
yeah.
God, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an important preacher. You know, I'm important. I'm, you know, God loves me, you know, all this kind of stuff. It don't take too long for us to, you know, human beings to get full of ourselves. And, you know, I was watching P. Diddy the other night, and I got so tired of him gloating and prancing around, and you know, I'm like, okay, can you just sit there and be humble for a little bit? You know, you got
a little bit.
A couple of awards recently. I think he got one at BET, and it was another one a few weeks ago, where he's starting to get those lifetime, you know, like how Janet Jackson
mm-hmm.
gets the lifetime, you know,
mm-hmm.
at a certain point, Mary J. Blige, you know, after you're in the game for 20,
mm-hmm.
30 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, you start
mm-hmm.
getting them lifetime achievement awards,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, that's a sign that you're kind of, you know, there's a few more generations that are behind you now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was he was a little bit over the top, and you know, you gotta be humble. Another person that's full of themselves and over the top is like Donald Trump. People like, you know, those type of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, we all have that. We're all mm-hmm. like that in many times. You know,
uh-huh.
you just have to, you know, I think that's one of two or three lessons that I learned growing up from my parents. And that is just to learn a little humbleness, try to be a little bit humble. Don't let your ego.
Yeah, they got a song out there say that. Be
that
humble.
Pride.
That means,
yeah. Look and don't let your pride take over. You know, you get so boastful and proud of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can get caught up in things, you know,
uh-huh.
and mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of stuff. Donald Trump is a good example of some of this. He talks himself into things, and you can't turn around. You know, some people they set themselves up so high, and you can't
uh-huh.
they can't get off of that big. That pillar they put themselves mm-hmm. up there. Anything less, they think they are a failure. But
mm-hmm.
you're the one that put yourself up there. Let me stop preaching. I'm trying to tell people to be humble.
Mike, let me say this, and I wish we were in studio. Because, oh my Lord, I put my bridge card on for
like
some
church.
More time.
It'd be like
yeah,
church.
It
we
would.
Have to, we would
but
have
let
to,
me,
the
let
collection
me
say, plate going around.
Yeah. Yeah. let me say this here, because it was laid on the spirit of my mind for mm-hmm. Sister Henrietta, for you, sis. In her summation, what she is saying to us, is that there's two words, even in the criminal level. In the criminal level, we would all love to hear not guilty. In the marriage level, we would love to hear I do. And even in the football or whatever, or baseball, he say you're out. But Sister Henrietta is saying that there's two words. That we all should be, I wish I had a little help on here, that we all should be striving to hear. And those two words in this life is when God says, well done.
Yes.
Come on, somebody put their hands together. Somebody ought to put their hands together right where they're sitting, right where they're standing. Them two words.
Mm-hmm.
Two words. You hear two words all our lives, but it's two words. It's two more words that you're living to hear, and that's when God says, well done. You already know what comes after he say, well done. I wish I had a little more help on here, y'all.
Yes.
Amen.
Wow.
For Jesus.
You sound just like a preacher wrapping up his sermon, Chaplain. I think you just... put the exclamation point on this morning with that, man.
Bless you. Bless
thanks
you, man.
For, yes, thanks for sharing that. I really enjoyed this morning. Thank
I really
you,
did, too.
Guys,
I did, too.
For, yeah. We had a few different lessons going on this morning. One about being prepared for the day when it's your turn. You know, I've been
mm-hmm.
to a few funerals. I'm sure you all have, too. You know, I hope people think about the eulogy. You know, it's not for the dead. The eulogy is for the living.
That's right.
For the living.
That's right.
If you don't walk out of there thinking about what you just saw and heard, something's wrong. I remember once, and I'll wrap things up after this. I remember I was working at the bank, and mm-hmm. I had a funeral to go to. So I said, oh, I'll just go on my lunch break. I can go from 12 to 1. So I went to the mm-hmm. funeral and, got back to my office. Everything was all fine. When I got back mm-hmm. to my office, I could not focus on work, and I wanted to leave and go back home. What happened was after seeing and hearing everything I did that I saw, I did not feel comfortable about coming back like everything is normal, come back to normal. I, out of respect for that person's family, I will never, ever go lunch break like that again. We just go pop out, go, and then come back like it ain't nothing. It was it. I took it very seriously. I knew the person, and it affected me more than I thought it would. So when I got back, I just couldn't come back and just open up a checking account or make a deposit for somebody. Life was worth more than me just taking an hour off and coming back to work. And I think that some people go to funerals like it's a fashion show. You know, make sure got to stop, wash the car at the car wash so my Cadillac is shining when I get there. Make sure we got the matching outfits, you know, me and my boo or whatever. And it's like a fashion show, you know. It's more than that. It's somebody's eternal journey that they just went on. Like you said, they ain't coming back tomorrow. To tell us how it was and to tell us that they liked the funeral and everything. They can't come back and tell us, oh, you guys really did a nice funeral for me. That was really nice. Yeah. I got to say, that was like, I really enjoyed my funeral. You know, no, they ain't coming back and telling us nothing. They can't. It's over.
But the ones that's living will be able to say that I learned how to get through this death because of what I heard you say, because the song that I heard you sing, but the prayer that I heard you pray, the remarks that I heard you give. So you are absolutely right. And I'm going to make this real short. I went to a funeral, a homegoing service 2 weeks ago. So we want to be careful when we putting certain folk up to do eulogies, because there's one preacher that sits over there laughing already. We had one preacher up there, man, did the eulogy so long, Sister Jackie got out the casket and said, I'll meet y'all at the cemetery. She got out and said, she said, I will meet y'all at the cemetery. And they must didn't see it, but I saw her. I saw her walking down the aisle. What? And by the time we got to the cemetery, Sister Jackie was in the ground throwing dirt on herself and said, don't let that preacher say that now.
I got that.
That's it. He gone.
Y'all be careful, man.
Yeah.
It's like going to the front was on lunch break. You move forward.
Yeah, I know.
Your job.
I know, right? And I wonder if some of these, what would some of these people say if they were able to tell us and make a comment about the funeral?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, some of those things go for, we've all seen some of those go for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah,
that's a long day.
I went to the funeral procession, Mike and Sis and Bishop, and it's the truth. I went to the procession, and you know that you're all preachers. We near mostly up front, by near the hearse and the family cars. I was able to get out, go in the stove, get me something to drink, and get back in the car and then lose a beat. Man, these funerals be so long, man. You know what I'm saying? But let me say this. Sadly as it is, funerals now are the new family reunions. Brought to you by death. So Mike, when you said earlier, yeah, funerals are the new family reunions brought to you today by death. You hear me? So when you got folks that go to these funerals and they're getting sharp and they're dressing, the way that they dressing, I see it as just them finally getting around family members they ain't seen, and they just want to look a certain way. They want their smell a certain way. They want their car to be a certain way. So I want to help a lot of folk. When we see them folk at funeral home, at funerals, dressing that way, let's look at the good that can come out of it, that can be in it, rather than us saying, you know, that it's something that look at that, what she got on, or look how he dressed it. It's because it's the new family reunion.
Right. And
people
I hope they
don't dress like us.
And I hope they get something out of it, that they, that they're listening to the eulogy, that they are paying attention to what's going on.
That's right.
It could be them. It could be them tomorrow. All right. Well, look, guys, let's wrap it up. I'm glad, you know, I thought, God, every once in a while I listen to what he says, and he told me this. He said, Mike, he said, extend the program this morning. Do you know we've been on for an hour and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a bridge card, man. We can buy some more time.
We did an hour and a half. Look, we did an hour and a half and about to go over that. But I just want to make sure you guys have a great holiday weekend. I think we're having hamburgers and bratwurst. I think that's what's on the menu this time. I'm going to go get out in the yard this weekend, and I hope that you all have a happy 4th.
I sound like an invite to me, brother.
Oh Lord!
He said, "Wrong."
You ain't saying nothing.
You tell people you want your menu. Well, that's an invite.
Did I?
Yeah, that's what that sounded like.
What? Oh, that I made a mistake. I don't know what I was talking about. I'll have to let me go. I think that's what I had last July 4th. I don't know. I think it was,
really.
I got.
But we shouldn't.
I think I spoke too soon.
Yeah, but Mike, we should not leave. We should not leave off air without at least enlightening people of the city of Detroit, letting them know that we do know truthfully what the 4th of July really, what it represents, and why folks celebrate that. So, you know, someone offered that. We should offer that information to the city of Detroit, letting them know that we do know what the 4th of July represents.
Well, with 3 minutes left, that's...
Sister Henrietta?
Yes.
Somebody else say it. All I know is that it's supposed to be America's independence.
Absolutely.
But... That Constitution was a very flawed document when this country was birthed. Okay,
that's true.
And we're still fighting. They could take our voting rights back again tomorrow. Remember, Court and
right.
Chaplain, you brought this up. You know that's not right. With two minutes left to go, you knew you was lighting a fire and throwing it
in the fire. I told you I got $20. I got $20 left on my bridge card, man. We can buy some more time.
We got to go. We gonna have to finish that up next time. Okay, you all.
Thank you,
Sunday morning team. Thank you,
God
listeners.
Bless you.
Have a great day today.
Happy
your holiday.
Everybody,
I'll be
better
for my brother and my
Sunday. Yeah. Sunday morning team. Happy holidays to everybody, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you. God
bless
you
all,
you all.
Missionary. Bless you too, missionary.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Me go astray, thank God for his amazing grace.
It was amazing.
It was amazing, simply amazing. Amazing grace. It was amazing.
So very
amazing.
amazing.
Oh,
glad that I know.